Good morning out there in Radio Land. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we are going to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. In every situation, in every season, no matter what we're going through, we can rejoice in the Lord. That is the beautiful, encouraging, hopeful part of being a believer in Jesus Christ, being a follower of Jesus Christ. We can rejoice at all times. Amen. We have Brother Roger still in the studio with us, and we have Brother Greg. It's Thursday with Brother Greg. So how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing just fine. I almost said Brother Aaron.
I know. It's hard to get out of the out of the habit. Yeah. But we are here, and I'm still full of gratitude. Actually, last night, Ethan did a teaching on gratitude. So I guess the gratitude's spilling over into the rest of the family. So it was pretty good what he did with the kids on gratitude. So, and yesterday was a long day. So I was needing that. I was needing that extra reminder in the afternoon. You know, it's a long time. We're here in the morning talking about gratitude, and there's a long time till the afternoon. So you need those reminders. Amen. We do have a few announcements this morning, and again, continue to lift up the families in Louisville in your prayers from this plane crash that happened and just all the lives lost, and just don't want to forget to remind us to pray for those because they are going to need it in these days ahead. But we do have a few announcements here. The ladies' meeting with Miss Renee, she's going to be here Friday, November the 14th at 6 o'clock. And there's a home basketball, BCA basketball game at 5:30. So some of the family can go to the basketball game. Some of the family can come to the ladies' meeting. And there will be soups and that word that Greg doesn't like to hear that starts with a C. It's a four-letter word, I think.
Nope,
five-letter word. I'm corrected.
Yeah, you can say it, Ann. It's okay.
Yep, chili, soups, and sandwiches, stuff like that. So come out, be a part, and it's just going to be a great time in the presence of the Lord. And then also, we're doing a food drive here where people can bring food to help those that they do not have food right now. They were relying on their SNAP benefits. So we want to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and we're collecting. If you guys have anything that you'd like to bring, Wednesdays and Saturdays are going to be those drop-off days. And it says Saturday will be from 10 a.m. to 12. So that will be the hours. If you want to come here to Bethel Fellowship in our cafeteria area, that's where they're going to be collecting this food if you want to be a part of that. So that's all the announcements we have currently, and we will be announcing once we get some more information on it. I can go ahead and speak on it a little bit. This is the 250th anniversary of our country, right? That's what, so this year, and, or I guess it will be
Yeah,
next.
We're working on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're working on it.
So with that being said, in Hardinsburg, they always do a reading of Scripture. So they read through the whole Bible out loud. They proclaim Scriptures, and they have speakers set up there in the middle of town, and they have a little area where it's heat. There's heat inside, don't worry. It does get cold during January, but they have a little heated area. It's like a little trailer that you go inside, and they have different people who take shifts of reading Scripture into the atmosphere and speaking it into the atmosphere. And so Miss Juanita Sheck, she's ahead of that, and she is trying to get 250 different people to read Scripture in honor of the 250 year celebration. So that's the goal, and if she gets more, then she's happy with that. If she gets more than 250, but if you're interested in that, she wants to get the word out. So make sure that you tell your family about it. I'm just making the announcement. Anyone who is willing or interested in that, and you know, you can schedule that with her and schedule how much Scripture that you'll be reading. I think the year that I did it, I had a couple chapters that I read. And it wasn't, it was pretty cool, just to know that that word was being read aloud in the streets, you know, for all to be able to hear. And also we know that it's not just being read aloud so that everybody can hear. It is changing the atmosphere, because the word of God changes the atmosphere. I mean, that's what we're doing whenever we are speaking over the airwaves. It's the same principle. So if you're interested in that, we will have more information on it, but you can contact Miss Juanita Sheck, and if you want to, then we can get you connected with her if you call us at the station. So, but again, this is just me getting it out there. Keep your eyes open for it, and we'll have more information on that as we near the holidays and New Year's. So
also, as like if you're in the Clarkson area or Grayson County area, Clarkson community as well is taking up non-parish items and stuff just to give, you know, to help out with all this that's coming as well. So if y'all in that area and want to assist, just reach out to Clarkson Community Church, and they'll, whether it be Facebook or however you can find them, you know, call somebody, whatever, they'll lead you where you can go to help out if you want to. So
awesome. Yeah. Amen. So yeah, if you're in the Clarkson area, because it's a little bit of a drive from Clarkson to here.
Yeah.
And I know the Grayson County Alliance, they're also, they do food drives, and
yes,
you can bring,
yeah,
donations to them too if you're,
yeah,
in the middle, like the Litchfield,
yeah,
middle area. But amen. Awesome. That's good. And Miss Renee, how are you doing?
I'm good. I had,
amen,
set my alarm clock for 4:30, but it was p.m., so. And then I got behind buggies.
Hey,
buses,
you're good. We still haven't changed this clock in here.
Well,
hey, it's saying 8 o'clock.
Hey, if you can't get here on time, just get here when you can. That's what we,
yeah,
say.
Yeah, you have a longer commute than we do.
Yeah,
well,
that's
me,
a long way.
I'm the shortest, so I have no excuse.
How far do you drive?
It's an hour and 15 minutes, as hard as I can go.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
That's a dedication. So thank,
yeah,
you for coming and joining us this morning. And
that is a long way.
I'm excited. When I see you, I get excited.
Praise God.
My spirit gets excited. I'm like, we're going to rejoice and go for it in the Lord. So amen. I'm keeping the Proverbs of the day and the quote of the day going while in Pastor Aaron's absence. So I didn't get to it yesterday. So the proverb for today is, Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in its end is the way of death.
Wow, that's good.
So that's one of, I remember that often whenever I want to go my own way. The Lord will remind me of that often. Mm. And also that word seems right. Yesterday was speaking to me about, you know, the deception of the enemy and how we cannot look at how things seem. We can't pay attention to how things seem just on the outside, because there's often deception that comes with that. But with the Lord, it's right from the inside out. The inside out is truth, and He will show us that. With Him, we have discernment. We can see through. You know, the Word of God, it cuts through everything. So He was speaking that to me yesterday, too. And then the quote of the day, the reason why many are still troubled, still seeking, still making little forward progress is because they haven't yet come to the end of themselves. We're still trying to give orders and interfering with God's work within us. A.W. Tozer. So those kind of go hand in hand there. And I love that. It's, you know, Lord, more of You, less of me, move me out of the way so that You can do the work within me. So yeah, that's it. And we are in Hosea chapter 2. We kind of bounced all over the place on Tuesday. Yesterday, Holy Spirit took over. We didn't get to any Hosea. So I do feel like we could start reading in verse 15, and just however far we get is good with me, because we kind of really bounced around on Tuesday. We kind of skipped to and read ahead on a verse towards the end of the chapter, but then we didn't really cover a whole lot of the verses in the middle. So we can start in verse 15. And I think Greg, so Hosea chapter 2, verse 15, and Greg wanted to say something about verse 16, right?
Well, let's just read it and see what it says, and then we'll just go from there. I've got so much. We're in Hosea chapter 2, verse, yeah. So anyway, yeah, so, like I said, we'll just read and go through there. I've got so much to say about this everything. Like, okay. We'd be in this book forever. We wouldn't get out of here this year, I don't think. But you want me to read? Or
you can.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry, listeners, but here we go. All right. And I will give her her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for the door of hope. And she shall sing there in as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shalt call me no more Baali. For I will take away the names of Balaam out of their mouth, and they shall no more remember by their name. That no more be remembered by their name.
You're going to stop there?
Yeah, yeah. So, leading up to this, so we was talking about, I guess, on Tuesday, if we remember, they had children. And the children's name, when they had, when Gomer had the three children, it was Jezreel. Is it? Am I saying it right? I totally lost.
Yeah. It was names that had judgment attached to them.
Yeah. That's it. Jezreel, and that means to sow and to scatter.
Wow.
And then the other one was Lo Ruhamah, which is Lo means not, and Ruhamah is loved. So not loved. That's pretty bad to name a kid that, but that's what happened. So the other one was Lo Ami, which is A-M-I-I. That means not my people. Lo being not and Ami being my people. Well, as he goes through, just to catch it up to where we are here, you know, he names these children this, but then he starts drawing these children back, and he begins to change their name. And then as you go on through and you get to, let's see, have they changed their names yet? Have we got there? Or are we getting there?
I think we're getting there.
Okay. So, well, that's what's going on. So, and this is what he's talking about right here, that for I will take away their names of Baal out of their mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. So he's starting to bring them back now, and he's going to change their name. And basically, he's going to change their name, and he's going to take the low off of it is what he's going to do. Mm-hmm. You know, he's going to take the not off of it, and he's going to say that they are loved and that they are my people. You know, and that Jezreel is to scatter them. So there's a purpose in this, and it is to scatter, so to bring them out, to cast the seed out into, you know, to spread his word, you know, just like whenever he brought the children into Israel, he built this big nation in there, and then he set them forth. You know, he's got a purpose and a plan and all these things. And this verse 16, that is so cool that this is the verse I wanted to talk about since yesterday. But in which way, and it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, thou shalt call me Ishi, which means husband, and shall call me no more Baali, which means master.
Master.
So you'll no longer call me master, but you'll call me husband. Does that sound familiar? Something from the New Testament?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll cry, Abba, Father. But to get the context, what he's talking about here, if you go to Exodus, you don't have to go there, but I mean, you can if you want to, but it's Exodus chapter 15, and it's 1 through the 1 through 18. It's talking about, well, I'll just read it's Moses' song is what it is. And you go through and you read all these verses, but I'll read the last one. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. So that's verse 18. So, 17, let's see. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in a mountain of thine inheritance in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee, and dwell in the sanctuary of O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. So, you know, that's the context, what he's talking about here, to bring them out. So he's, you know, that's his people. He's bringing them out of Egypt. But for us, now for our context today, you know, I was working on that when you come in, I was reading it. So it's Galatians chapter 4, and I'll read it just 1 through 7. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differing nothing from a servant. Does that sound familiar? Mm-hmm. Through, though he be Lord of all, but he is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. That sounds familiar. I know I was. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons of God, hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Mm. See what I'm saying? So, you know, this is, so he's talking. Oh, man, I just turned the wrong page. Lost my page. Pulled the, So he's talking now. We're in Hosea, so, you know, this is taking place. He's working on these people at this time, in Hosea's time. And in this book, you know, he's bringing his people back. Well, that also is a foreshadow of what we're going through today. You know, that's the Lord. I didn't know who I was, you know, before I've met Christ. And I'm still learning who I am in Christ. You know, he has taken that knot off of my name. You know, he's taking that not loved off my name. He's taking that not my people, that low.
He's conforming us.
Yeah, he's taking that off of me, and he's making me love. You know, he's bringing me into his love, and he is making me one of his own. You see what I'm saying? So this, and this is.
I love how it speaks to, you know, it's alive and it's active, this word. And it speaks into so many different things, even out, even from launching from the context of it, which is for Israel. Like, we know that this is speaking to Israel. It's the covenant. It's the foreshadowing. It's the promise for them. But through that, we know that we're, you know, we see Jesus, you know, the door of hope. There's so many words, in, even especially in this chapter, that's like Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Like, it couldn't be any more clear in front of us. And we know that we were grafted in. So it's so cool that, you know, even Tuesday, Ms. Crystal was talking about how she, this chapter is the chapter that she, or actually, I think it was also like part of chapter one and chapter two. But the chapters that she goes to when she's praying for her prodigals.
Praise God.
And that's what she stands upon for, because it is. You know, if God did it for her, if God did it for them, and if God's doing it for Israel, then why wouldn't he do it for our lost family members that are prodigals, you know? And so I just love it because it is speaking to Israel. It is speaking. This was a real story. These were real people. But it's also alive and active today in our lives. And we can claim it over our prodigals. We can claim it over our own lives, like Greg is saying, you know, that we're being conformed. He didn't leave us to, you know, he didn't ever leave us or forsake us. And that's what I love about this. It's so good.
Can I just a little bit of context? Just from more theological standpoint, you know, if you know the structure of what happened to Israel under the reign of King David, the monarchy, the tribes were united. And then because of Solomon's backsliding and apostasy, if you will, the nation would be not taken in Solomon's time, but it would be taken in his son. And so you see Jeroboam and Rehoboam, and so the split comes in the nation. And that's so profound when you get to that, to have this understanding as a Bible believer when you're reading the scriptures, because the nation, 10 went one way and 2 went the other. And so, you know, this is talking about Israel here. And they're not going to become a people. They're not the people of God because they've assimilated. They're going to be taken captive by the Assyrian army, and they're going into bondage. Of course, we know Judah does too as well. And that's what I love about Messiah, because he says that part of the restoration of Messiah is he will restore the fallen booth of David. So why are you saying all this? It's so beautiful. I'm just sitting here just taking all this in, because on a personal note, I've got somebody, I'm really believing God, that they, all these things could be said about them today. Mm-hmm. That's so good what you shared. I want to weep because, you know, you get discouraged. You've got somebody really in a battle. And all these things, if I were writing this out about this person this morning, I could say some of these things, Greg. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your perspective on that because, but God's going to change all that. Mm-hmm. He said, no longer will these gods be your, will you call upon that? You won't even know their name.
Yeah.
You're going to know the Lord. And that's going to be my prayer when I leave here today.
Yeah.
No wonder the devil had me put 4:30 p.m. But I'm reminded of the story. And this is so good because when Messiah comes, he said, I have sheep of a gate that you don't know of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Judah predominantly saw themselves as the people of God because they were occupying Jerusalem. They'd come back after the captivity of the Babylonians. And they were there. But Israel, these people become the Samaritan people. But God remembered a woman at a well.
Mm.
And it was at her ancestor's well, Jacob, who was the father of all of this brokenness. And Jesus said, I have need to go to Samaria. So he knew these prophecies that God was going to restore that which was broken.
Mm.
He knew those, they were not a people anymore, right?
Yeah.
She says, you Jews say we should worship here. And our fathers say this, they're still broken. Jesus said, there's coming a time you'll not worship here nor there, but those that worship will worship in spirit and in truth. He is the ultimate unifier. He is the one that takes every fabric that's broken in all of our lives and he restores to the utmost place. And so all of this, you don't see all this completely fulfilled, even here.
Mm-mm.
It's going to be under the reign of Messiah.
Mm.
It's and God's covenant. You know, we're seeing so much backlash against Israel right now. I'm not talking about what's going on. I'm just talking about we are seeing so many people become anti-Israel. But if you believe that God can break his covenant with Israel, how can you believe that God will keep his covenant with you?
Mm-hmm.
God is ultimately the judge to where someone stands or they fall, what they do or they don't. But my hope is, and my prayer is that we will remember, just as he said, and you said it as well, he is a faithful covenant-keeping God.
Yep.
And so I needed this today because there's somebody I'm just believing God for this morning. And if I were to write out their life, what their name means right now, I can leave here this morning. I could just right now just go ahead and leave and have a little bit of hope of what I've really been crying out to God for a couple of days. And that's for even people turning in. Like you're like, well, that's a nation of people, like Greg said, but he comes all the way down. And he knows my name.
Mm-hmm.
He knows my name and the name of that person that I'm believing God for.
Amen.
Yep. I want to say this too, you know, in what led up to this, you know, at the beginning when we started reading the book, chapter 1, verse 1, and the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. And then so Jehu, we talked about that. Jehu, he did great things, right? He went and cleared out Baal, the worship and all the things, you know, but he kept this one guy. He picked him up on the way to his battle. I can't remember what his name was, Jeroboam. He picked, is that right? Did he pick
Jeroboam
him up?
Jeroboam was the king of Israel.
Okay, so. Not Jeroboam. All right, well, he picked him up on his way, and he was a Kenite. He was the son of I'd have to go there. It's in 2 Kings. We went there.
You
Second
go ahead
Kings.
And keep talking. I'll look at the address.
All right, 2 Kings, verse 10, 15 through 31, basically. But 31 is a thing. He picked him up in verse 15, and by 31... he'd already turned from the Lord listening to this guy.
2 Kings what now?
Chapter 10.
Okay.
Chapter 10, yeah. Verse 15 through 31. And 15's where he picks him up after where he's going to battle. He says, do you believe, is your heart turned with my heart? And the guy said, yes, my heart's with yours. and he put him in his chariot, and he rode with him and stayed with him throughout all his victories. But then after a while, when you get to verse 31, that guy had turned his heart completely away from God.
Jehonadab is his name.
Yeah. Yeah. Turned, and he's a descendant of Cain. And when he goes through and you look at all of his lineage, he actually comes from the line of Cain. But anyways, we have to be careful who we have in our circle.
Wow. Come on.
You know what I'm saying? Like, who is in your circle? And if you're feeling a spirit of bondage coming over you, who is in your circle?
Mm.
You know, what is somebody speaking something to you? You know, if they're not speaking life into you and they're speaking these other things that is not of God, you know, pray for these people. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what to tell you to do, but this, you know, let the Lord lead you in what you need to do. I'm not the guy to tell you what to do, but who is in your circle? If you're experiencing doubt and unbelief and just a lot of negativity, look at who you're surrounded with and listen to what is being poured into you. You know, because it comes in so subtle.
Mm.
It comes in, you know, and it can come in as somebody trying to help you.
Mm.
In their mind, they're trying to help you when it really is hurting you.
But they're not the right attachment.
They're not.
Let me read this real quick. This is so powerful.
Yeah, go ahead.
The Lord said to Jehu, because you have done well in accomplishing what is right in my eyes and have done.
That's 30.
To the house of Ahab, all had in mind to do. Your descendants will sit on the throne of Israel to the fourth generation. Yet Jehu was not careful to keep the law of the Lord and the God of Israel with all of his heart. He did not turn away from the sins of Jeroboam, which he had caused Israel to commit. Wow.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So, you know, so even though he was doing all these good things for God back then, he picked up the one guy on his way in his victories. And that guy was with him through all of his victories.
Wow.
And that guy is what turned his heart from God. You see what I'm saying? So,
but I think if we read on the other day and it talked about it was the breaking the law when it came to murder, because it had gotten his heart.
Yeah.
And the violence and the power, because he wasn't supposed to slaughter everybody.
Right.
He was only supposed to follow instructions, but then he slaughtered the entire house.
Yeah. Wow. Well, but those were his actions, but the root cause is verse 30. He turned his heart from the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, regardless whether you go and at that point, your hands are just the product of the source, the rotten root inside.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he turned from the Lord, that's the
part. It led him to a place where.
Yeah. So regardless, so whether, you know, I don't think anybody's out there just slaughtering people, you know, now, but we're out there doing things that's contrary to God, that's hindering our walk with God. You see
what? I know we make that statement. I don't think anybody's out there slaughtering people, but, you know, anyone could end up in that place. Any one of us could, if our heart is wrong, we could end up a murderer.
And that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. And a murderer spiritually, I guess what you're saying. Yeah.
No, even naturally.
Well,
I mean, I really think the Lord has shown me that. Like, we view sin so different than he views sin.
Mm-hmm.
We categorize it. But what I see in scripture is, you know, don't think too highly of yourself that you will not fall, you know, and I think that happens to us sometimes.
Well, I listen to a lot of secular stuff on the side just to kind of get a feel of the vibe of the nation and what's going on. You've got to figure this stuff out. And I'm seeing a lot of, and this is something that I taught on Saturday, is in Jude. You inspired me. I went home and I'm doing a message on Jude. give me some good stuff to think about. But, you know, it was Jude talked about defending. We were to be defenders of the faith. And I went through starting in Genesis and I built exponentially what that faith looks like. And I'm seeing, and I'm so grateful for the move of God. You know, Charlie Kirk passed away. So many people are buying Bibles. I mean, just this rush to come know Christianity, to know the Lord. That's phenomenal. But what I am seeing, I am beginning to see, like, this, it's good to search and seek, but I'm beginning to see so many titles, like, I believe I'm a Christian, but there's no change of heart what he is saying. And I'm seeing this on a very high level with people that are influencers of millions of people. And one thing that I'm seeing is there's a split right now, I believe, in the church on many levels with your thoughts on Israel, your thoughts on the God of the covenant. You know, what does it look like to be a Christian today? We're to be, you know, sympathizers on these different things. But one of the things I'm seeing a split in the covenant of the Old Testament having no weight versus the New Testament. And that the Old Testament God is harsh and cruel. And then Jesus, I'm seeing this. I'm seeing it a push against truly against Judeo-Christianity. Yeah. It's coming. You need to see how, I mean, they say from 30 below, they have no heart for Israel right now. This is like, we should be like warning, warning, you know, like they say, because that's the pulse of the nation. And that's affecting our view of eschatology and everything. And so I'm not saying that everything Israel does is right. It's not about Israel today. But I'm just using that as a little example that this is a Jewish book and this is a Jewish Messiah, and he grafted us in to a covenant that was in Jeremiah that was made with two houses, Israel and Judah. And we are the wild olive branch grafted in. So what I saw this week is comments that are being made. This is one very prominent person that made a comment like, well, I read the Old Testament and that God seems very harsh. That was Marcion. That was way back then. That was his theology, that the God of the Old Testament is cruel and harsh and Jesus is good. But that's not true. The reason you see we do more spiritual warfare, we're warring. Joshua went into a land, a physical, geographic land, and took the land. We do that through prayer.
Spiritual.
We do that through pressing the kingdom through prayer and bringing the kingdom of God through the word. One thing God showed, if you go to Genesis chapter 15, he says your descendants will go into Egypt and they will be slaves for 400 years until the fullness of the ites in the land come to, because God was not going to judge until what they did. You have to, and when you see that God would say, kill men, women, and children. So that seems very difficult. Like a lot of people struggle to read. But it all goes back, and this is why I'm thinking this. The heart. Mm-hmm. God saw systemically that root of Baal worship, children being passed through the fire, went all the way down systemically, even into the seed of the children. So he was not that God was going in and killing men, women, and children. He was killing the ideologies that were embedded that could actually kill the bloodline that the Messiah was trying to come through. Mm-hmm. He was guarding and protecting the world so the Savior could come, but he was also killing out the ideologies that was going to destroy the goodness of God. God was good in what he did because he was protecting. He was having to cut off a short amount to protect the whole, if you will.
Yeah.
And you don't see God from that perspective. I'm telling you, I'm seeing it in Gen Z. There is a great move of God coming, but there's also this twisting of what you said with the way that we see this subtle deception. And they're seeing such a split. It goes a split with America to Israel, the Old Testament to the New Testament. That God is not this God. And it's just, and the ideology is making a rise come to where we will have no tolerance for righteous preaching.
Mm. Well, I mean, this is all prophesied. Jesus, you know, we've been told everything. Jesus says, behold, I've told you all things.
Yes.
You know, and the first thing he said was, let no man deceive you. And any time we start talking about it, the first thing was, let no man deceive you.
Matthew 24.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, well, you know, all these things, you know, my sheep hear my voice. So, you know, when people are saying the Old Testament, God was mad, and the New Testament, he's love, my sheep hear my voice. And if if you cannot hear Jesus and see Jesus in this Old Testament, I think we need to pray some more. We need to seek the Lord more,
yes,
because Jesus is the fulfillment of everything that was spoken
in
mm-hmm. the Old Testament. They prophesied about him. The whole thing was telling you, was getting you ready for him to come. And then now we're living in what the prophets told us was going to happen after he comes. So everything that we see has been spoken. Mm-hmm. Everything, you know, everything, like, you know, everybody's going to turn towards Israel is what Revelation says.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Everything.
It says in Zechariah, and it says, and you will bring trouble upon yourself,
yes,
if you're part of that.
Yes. So, and so all these things must be, these are travailings, you know, like a birthing mm-hmm. pains before before women give birth. You guys know, or you ladies know about it. I don't know nothing about it. I've witnessed it, you know, but I haven't experienced it. But I, you know, the contractions, you know, as closer the babies you get, the harder they are, the more intense they are, and the more frequent they are, the contractions, you know, as a woman travailing. And this is what we see here, you know, when he's talking about the travail, as a woman travails, you know, these things that we see, these disruptions that we see, is going to get more intense.
Yep.
They're going to get more what am I trying
inflamed.
To say?
You're
well, yeah,
see
they're going to be more intense, but they're going to be closer together.
Closer
so,
together.
Yeah, they're
yeah.
going to be closer.
More frequent.
To, yeah, more frequent.
Frequent.
Yeah. And all these things will be. But if you are in the Lord and your trust is in the Lord, you're going to see these things. With your eyes only will you see the reward of the wicked. So do not lean on your own understanding.
Amen.
When you see these things, you know, teach your children the word of God.
Amen.
Teach your children that, you know, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. Teach them, you know, go and study and learn of him and teach your kids.
Mm.
That's way whenever they move forward, if the Lord tarries and you pass away and your children are still here, leave them the Lord in their hearts.
Yeah.
You know, it,
can I say something to that? I mean, that just ties so into what you were saying, Renee, about, you know, that seed being all the way into the children. But if somebody will rise up in a family and start putting the good seed,
praise God, come on,
in a child,
yes,
the Lord will honor that, and mm-hmm. he will preserve.
Mm-hmm.
He's done it over and over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it may have ran, and the seed may have, but if somebody will rise up and start putting the seed of God in children,
mm-hmm.
it will completely change the course of a family, and could be a generation. That's the beautiful thing about God is, you know, he went to, look at Abraham. He was in the midst of, that's what came to my mind was,
yeah,
he came to Abraham and he found, Abraham had faith. He found favor with the Lord.
He came out of Ur of Babylon, which is, you know.
Totally,
I mean,
wicked.
It's pagan,
yeah,
very pagan.
Totally wicked, but there was that remnant.
Mm.
He was a part of that remnant. And, you know, I'm thankful that the Lord, he sees what we don't see. And that's,
yeah,
something that set me free from, you know, the verse, it talks about his ways are higher than ours. He's at a point where he can see what we will never be able to see. He knows what's going on in rooms that we're not in.
Yeah.
You know,
ooh, I love that.
He,
oh,
knows,
wow,
what's being spoken. He knows,
come
what's
on,
being done. He knows what we're doing behind closed doors. So if I'm going to put my trust in anybody, I want to put my trust in the one that can see all things and,
amen,
know all things,
yeah,
and is righteous, because he brought Jesus. You know, no, you can't look at Jesus. I mean, I think it's just the surface level of Jesus, I guess, that people think are like the nice and the, you know, the pretty and the sweet that you're talking about. But when you look at everything he had to endure and everything God had to endure, it's that,
yeah,
God, you know, couldn't look upon him,
mm,
you know? It's like God, it angers me a little bit thinking about that, but I also see how the enemy,
mm,
is deceiving people who just don't know the truth. They,
mm,
just don't know the word.
Yeah.
That's why Jason's message on Sunday was so powerful. He was talking about if the enemy can do anything, he wants to pull us away from our word,
yeah,
from learning our,
wow,
word, because our word is the very weapon that we'll use against him. Just like David used Goliath. He didn't, I don't know if he mentioned this, but it made me think about it. David used Goliath's own sword to cut off his head.
Shoot, come on. Yeah.
So the enemy,
God,
knows that we can use this sword, the very thing that defeats him, to cut off his head. you know, and that's why he wants to keep us from it. He's like, no, 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 I don't, I want to distract them. I don't want them having the revelation of the word. And I think that's the sad thing is that's what it is there's been so many families that have, maybe there was one, somebody, you know, back generation that was in their word, but then along the way, so many families have left the word.
Well, I don't know if you've had any sparring or any attempt to try to have conversations with people on this Israel debate, and but it's difficult. I mean, it's like I put on my Facebook last week. We do not take eschatology from TikTok and podcasters. You have to know the word, and I think there's such a biblical illiteracy. Yes, we're glad people are getting scripture. We're glad they're getting Bibles, but you need to go get you a good strong concordance. Sit down, get you a, I see Greg's has got written all over here. Get pen, get paper, and begin to read. This is so good for me today, too, because Hosea is going to stand as a witness against these people that says God's done with Israel. Hosea stands as a witness and a testimony on two fronts. One, on our level of believing for our children or our family or even ourselves, God forbid, if we should backslide.
Yes.
Hosea stands, as Greg was saying in Galatians, that God is bringing us in. Messiah is greater than our own sin. But I just see this right now because I'm in, like, really been praying earnestly to combat, because it's, I mean, like, I, when I'm looking at this, I see a complete Jewish book, but I am sparring with people that are saying, hey, I'm rethinking Israel, and I'm going, what are you talking about? Like, I'm not saying that I am justifying any, we're not saying that. We're talking about God's covenantal promises toward a people. God specifically is saying in Hosea, they're messed up, but he's showing promise, as Greg read to us a while ago. I mean, I want to know that if, should God forbid, I go away, I don't never see myself backsliding. But, I mean, because I try to stay close to the Lord, but I can't say I wouldn't. I don't know. I don't know. I God knows my heart. I hope I would never. But I'm thankful for this, should I ever backslide.
Yeah.
Should my name become low, Tammy? Yeah. I mean, whatever, you know what I'm saying? Should it, Greg?
Yeah.
I want to be able to remember today your words that God was going to take a people who were not a people.
And make him his
people. Do you have somebody in your family right now that's not the person they need to be in God? They're so broken and so, they're so far down, you don't even know how they're going to get up. You don't even, you ever been where you don't know how to pray for somebody? Like, you start slinging demons and you're praying this and you're praying that, and you're just, you know in your spirit you're not praying. What I did last night, I said, Father, open a door, because I heard Rick Renner was talking about, you know, the different times in history that God would open windows. He opened the window in Noah's day. He opened the window in Malachi, and I just said, Father, open this window above this person right now. Open heaven that the glory of God will saturate the demonic. And that person, do you even know how, do you even have to know how to be free? I think we make God into this intellectual being.
Yeah.
It's like Greg will say sometimes, he'll get in the car, God, you know I'm angry, you know. I mean, like, I want to wrestle with that kind of God. I want to, I don't want to be just, yes, we do have to have God. We have to have faith. We have to trust. But don't you ever just want to get on the floor and say, God, where are you? I know a man that did. His name was David. And at every end of every psalm, he would say this, but God. But God.
But God.
And because God empties us of our Ishmael so that he could pour into us our Isaacs. He empty. I mean, like, Ishmael's got to come out. You know, I can sit there and try to bring Isaac out, but if I'm barren, I've got to get the Ishmael out. But after Ishmael comes out, God will come back to your tent, and he will say, this time next year, you will have your son. You're going to get what God will give you if you will faint not and just let God change you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You know, that's just
so
it.
Good.
You know, in all these times, and all throughout, you know, even what we see now with Israel, you know, and all the, they never got it right.
Never. I mean, not they, once. I thought they were good, and then today they've turned bad. Like, yeah. Do you read the yeah. same Bible?
Because I mean, they've never like so. They would get so far away from God, and God would bring judgment on them, and just totally destroy everything again. You know, through the Assyrians and through Babylon and through these different things, and now through the Antichrist and all the things that's going on. You know, it's just like Ecclesiastes says, what's happened before is going to happen again. You know, there's nothing new under the sun.
Greg is on to something, though, with bringing up that thing about the, I see now what the Lord's trying to speak through the person. Be careful who you have around you and yeah. speaking into you. Because we were talking about the generations. We were talking about how God, you know, people think that God is so mean because he wiped out the evil seeds. But why did those evil seeds get in? Because yeah. of the people that were around them.
Ooh, yeah. come on.
Somebody yeah. had to sow that mm. bad seed, because even with Adam and Eve, before the serpent came in, there was no rebel, like there wasn't the rebellion. There was that seed being planted, and then it germinated, it grew. And, you know, there's people chiming in about this, you know, being careful who's in our circle. Ms. Brenda, we need people in our circle who will pray with us and for us and help us to be still and rest in God. Help us to recognize our blessings, his promises, and what he's already done for us. We do need those people. We need the people around us that's going to hold us to the truth and pour truth into us. And when we start to, it triggered me on that too, when you said that you were conversing with people who had these other ideas about Israel.
It's really big. I mean, I don't think we literally, in the capital of,
we have to be careful what we're listening to.
Just yes. elected a radical Muslim that's chanting death to Israel. I don't think that the church is asleep. Wake yeah. up, wake up, wake up. I don't think we understand what we see right now. And if we have a Christianity that cannot back up the full counsel of God, when they were on the road to Emmaus and they couldn't see, Jesus did not start at John 1. Jesus started with the law and the prophets yeah. and then broke bread with them and their eyes were open. Greg, you have said it. I'm going to write it down every time I'm sparring with these people. When have they ever did anything right?
Yeah.
I mean, when? But the Romans chapter 1 said, what did they, I know, he's smart, y'all.
No.
Romans chapter 1. No. What does it say in Romans chapter 1? It said, what advantages are to be a Jew? Paul, these people. Paul, who y'all want to say is, you know, the father of the Christian faith here, okay? It is he that would say this. Everything. Because to them was given the oracles of God. They're going to keep doing stupid. They're literally going to make a covenant with the devil to divide the land. But then, even then, God's not finished with them. Do you want God to be finished with your son
mm-mm.
that you dedicated at the front of the church, and your son is went to the devil's den? And give himself over to drugs and alcohol, or your daughter, or what? Do you want God to, I mean, this is so good, because I've been like trying to figure out some new content to war with, but it's the book of Hosea. Like, do you want God to be done with your children? Why would you're asking God to be done with Israel, but then you want him to be okay with you or your children when they backslide? Why would you do
Amen
that?
Or out.
Why would you want to do that? I want to believe that no matter what they do, God will discipline, and he did. God always punished with removing their land. God, he would take them up so far, the land he gave them, and then he punished. And then they have to go serve other gods, because that's what you want. I'm going to give it to you. Yes, like yep. they're going to get quelled till they puke, okay? They're going to be bit by serpents. Greg, you just said, when have they ever done right?
Yeah.
I mean,
throughout all, everything we read. So they'll get good for a while, and then, you know, little by little, the next generation will be a little bit farther. And then the next generation, a little bit farther. And by the three or four generations later, they don't even know who they are anymore.
And guess who else does that?
That's us.
The church.
That's us. Yeah.
We are grafted in. We're grafted into this
beautiful.
It's
by the mercy of God.
We're grafted into the beautiful heritage. And he said, I will bring you back in unbelief. I think people are like frustrated that Israel is not believing Messiah. But there is a great, I believe that the door to the Gentiles, that doesn't mean they're not going to be saved. I believe the door to the Gentiles is closing. I believe that the Messianic faith is arising. There are so many Messianic ministries in Israel. And rabbinic tradition hates that. I'm not defending. Listen, they will literally bury, not physically, but they will bury a son that turns to the faith. They will consider you and they did it during Jesus's time, but God just looks at that and says, okay, but I'm faithful to the covenant. My younger sister is really seeking God, and she's like, we needed Greg there last night. She said, why in Genesis chapter 15, why did he not cut the birds? I don't get it. She's so analytical. She's in banking and she does like numbers, so everything fits. And I'm like, who asks a question like
this?
So
what did she ask?
She asked, like, in Genesis, when Abraham is put to sleep and God cuts the covenant, remember? And he cuts the, the ram and the three different animals.
Yeah.
And he cuts them in half.
But the
birds are not cut. And so she asked me that question. I said, like, the world's on fire and you want to know why but we looked it up. We looked it up. So she has to do ChatGPT with work. I said, ask Mabel at ChatGPT. Actually, her answer was pretty good. But I will say this, that when you go back to that, I mean, you all are claiming a faith. I sound like I'm on a rant today, but I'm not. Yeah. You're claiming a faith like our father Abraham. Well, your father Abraham
He
wasn't.
Well,
he was
a beginning.
He was a beginning. Yeah. And not all Israel's Jews. Only Judah. But they call them all. It's Jew. Did you know the name Jew is actually a derogatory term that was given to them? But here's the thing. I love this so much right here. Abraham is put to sleep because in ancient times, when you cut a covenant, both parties walk through the covenant. But God would put Abraham to sleep, and God would cut it, and he would keep it. God would cut it, and he would keep it. That's what God's doing in Hosea. He's cutting, and he's keeping. Yep. He's cutting, and he's keeping. So I'm so thankful that no matter how far I go with God, if I'm truly born again, other than I could just completely be done. I do believe there's that apostasy. But I don't believe it's so easy to lose your salvation because of Genesis. Yep. God cut it and he kept it. Now I might have to walk through some hell and some fire to get God to keep that covenant. Because when we're saved by grace, our obedience then brings blessings or curses. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times it's not you're not saved, you're being disciplined.
Mm. Always consider
that
this.
That is good.
Consider this.
Clip it.
Oh, it's all Greg's fault. He started it.
Tribulation brings repentance. I don't know how many years now since the Lord gave that to me. I've been saying it like a broken record. Anytime, when anybody repented, it ain't because they's having a good day. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, come on.
They never, they was never having a good day whenever they found themselves repenting to the Lord. Only after did they find themselves having a good day. Mm-hmm. So tribulation, that is God. He's bringing these things upon these people. And what he's doing is showing that everything that they believe in, everything that they trust in, everything that they rely on will fail. Mm. And when you get to the bottom where there's nothing else to return to, if you don't turn to him, there's nowhere to go. Mm. And this is tribulation. So how far down this tribulation tunnel are you going to go before you turn to the Lord? Because no matter how far you go, he's right there. All you got to do is turn around and it's over. That's all he's wanting. He's wanting us to turn to him.
Yeah.
So if you find yourself in these tribulation, these trials, these struggles, these whatever, turn to God. Turn to him. He's got his hand stretched out. These things are for a purpose. These things are to reveal to you that what you believe in is a lie. What you believe in will not sustain. What you believe in, the things of this world will not will not hold you in the times, you know, when the, this is what Jesus was describing when he's talking about build your house on the rock. Because when the winds come and the rains blow, your house will stand. Mm. You know what I'm saying? This is what he's talking about. You know, so this, that wind and rain, that's tribulation.
Wow. Come
you know,
on.
That's in a faith that hasn't been tested is no faith at all.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? Mm. So even when you're following God and you're trusting and you're believing and you're seeking, you know, these things come that you don't understand. Don't understand it, but just understand that God's got you. Even when you don't get it, you know,
I take it a little bit further? This is so good because one of the questions this week from some of these young women were like, why did Moses have to go into Egypt and do some of the things that he did? Because in Egypt, every place that the judgment of God came, it was to remove the veil of deception that these were truly not gods in the first place. Every place, the turning the blood in the Nile into blood, all the plagues that came were bringing judgment against the false gods that had blinded the eyes of the Egyptians. The persecution, the tribulation, the judgment came not to harm the people, but to bring the gods down that they had been trusting in so that they could see that Yahweh was the one true God.
Don't we need that right now?
But that's what happens sometimes. That's what happens in a person's life. They find themselves at the bottom. They're about to lose their family. They're about to lose everything they've got. Maybe they're going through a health crisis. Now, I'm not saying because you're sick that you've done something, but oftentimes some of these or like, you know, there's a disease that goes around. There's some kind of disease where you don't feel pain. There really is a disease that I've seen this like in children, like their nerve sensory has like is broken and they can't feel pain. And so they have to be protected. They have to watch everywhere they go because they could step on something and bleed to death because there's no way for them to know that they have endangered themselves. And that's where a majority of people are. They don't feel conviction and pain. The conviction, the tribulation, the pressure, this judgment, this discipline that the Lord is working is not to harm you, but to let you know that you've caused something in your life that ultimately is going to destroy and bring you to death.
Amen.
That's so good. Well, we're at our heartbreak, so I'm going to read this first trivia question, and then Renee and Greg will be back. I'll have to step out for a little bit, but I'll be back as soon as I can. Thursday question number one. When Paul's message was rejected in the synagogue at Corinth, who opened his home for Paul to minister the gospel? When Paul's message was rejected in the synagogue at Corinth, who opened his home for Paul to minister the gospel? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings with Vox 2 Radio.
Yeah. So, we're back. And
we're missing Hannah. Yeah, we need our wing lady.
Well, she's the host.
Roger's over there.
Yeah, Roger's over there.
Roger's keeping us in check.
You know, with all this stuff about Israel and everything that's going on and all this and you know, it and talking about, you know, let's just look at, you know, when the I can't remember my addresses, but I guess it's in Thessalonians. They're talking about the return of the Lord and this and that. But he talks about there'll be a great falling away and that man of sin and lawlessness will be revealed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now I'm not going to get into eschatology or nothing. I'm just going to talk about this great falling away that is to come to the earth. All right. Well, so when we think this great falling away, and I used to think of this, but the Lord has shown me differently. You know, he showed me more into this. You know, this great falling away, I thought it was people just walking away from just the church. You know, just walking away from God.
Mm-hmm.
But people are walking away from reality. They're walking away from everything that God has made. They're walking away from, you know, they don't even know whether they're men or women now. They're walking away from biology. They're walking away from everything that is God, that God has created. You know, they're turning everything into their own realities. You see what I'm saying? So not just a great falling away of the church, and I used to think of apostasy, but they're turning away from the natural, the like just from the natural. So people now, you know, you hear of people now that's in love with like an AI thing on the computer. You see what I'm saying? And they, you know, and like they'll do whatever, you know, they'll be, you can make a, who, you know, all these things. It's, it, there's just a, it's not reality, but they're living in it, you know? So they're this great falling away. So, and I just look like, just go back to say the 80s, or the 50s or whatever. I mean, well, we'll go to the 50s because, you know, I wasn't there, but the majority of people were biblically based throughout all the world, really. You know what I'm saying? You know, but now, fast forward to today, there's even the majority of people now don't even believe in God, and the God that they believe in is a fairy tale. You see what I'm saying? Is like a genie in a bottle. They pull him out when they need him. They put him up when they don't. You know, and this is, you know, these things that we see is God has spoken about these.
Well, it's great they're reading the Bible, and you're so glad that, like, when, like, again, I said when Charlie Kirk died, there was such an insurgence of people that bought Bibles. But it's important also not just to have the Word, but are you studying the Word? Are you? You know, do you have good Bible-based teaching? That's why I'm, you know, a lot of people are so anti-church. They don't want to be, well, I'm not going to be in a church. They're going to mess up. They're going to fall. And I keep going back. I'm so low scripture. You know, I was telling somebody the other day, I said, I'll spar with you over the topic of Israel, but I'm not going to do it based on TikTok.
Yeah.
I'm not, you're not going to, you want to get the Bible out and we will spar, but I'm not going to base on other people's opinions. So having a revelation of the scriptures, you know, when I was, we were watching, I forgot what his name is right now. I'll think of it here in just a minute. It's such a phenomenal Rick Renner. And he was talking about Matthew chapter 24. Jesus said, as it will be in the last days, shall be in the days of Noah. You know, when you read those times of, I mean, even the Nephilim, the things that happened, every man's heart had become exceedingly wicked. It was really hard 25 years ago to even think that we could be there. And now I look at, I mean, it don't take but one afternoon on social media, and I can see, wow, we are disintegrating into a place that's so against God. You know, deception, the Antichrist, like you said, I do believe there will be this, the antinomial, which will be against the law, the scriptures of God. This man of lawlessness is going to deceive the whole world because he's going to stand in the place of God. He's going to act like he is God. He's going to give answers to them because the situation around them is going to be bad.
He's going to provide for them, too.
Can I read this? You were saying a while ago, like, this stuff is just, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
In Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1, it says, behold, a day is coming. So we know a day's yet to come, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the Lord, when the spoil taken from you will be divided among you. For I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle. God's gathering these nations, okay? And the city will be captured and the houses plundered and the women ravished. And the half of the city I'm not sure what that word says. I can't see. Exalted. But the rest of the people will not be cut off from the city. So God's going to have a remnant, right?
Yep.
Then the Lord will go forth and fight then against those nations as he does when he fights on the day of the battle. In that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is in front of Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives will be split in the middle from the east to the west by a very large valley, so that by the half of the mountain will move toward the north and the other half toward the south. You will flee by the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountain will reach to Azel. Yes, you will flee just as you fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come and all the holy ones with him. Okay, in that day, there will be no light. The luminous will dwindle, for it will be a unique day which is known to the Lord, neither day nor night. But it will come about that at the evening time there will be light, and that day living waters will flow out of Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea and the other half toward the western sea. It will be in the summer as well as in the winter. The enemy knows this, so that's why he wants to capture Jerusalem, not just geographically, but in the hearts of the people. He wants us to believe that God is finished with what he's going to do, but God has a set number that is yet to still come in. We are grafted in. We are the new covenant believers, but God has still got a covenant with unbelieving Israel, and we know that by Romans 9, 10, and 11, New Testament scripture, right?
Yeah.
That God still has a work yet to do for Israel. Amen?
Yeah. No, I was talking.
He's talking. Sorry.
I was trying to get you to speak into your mic.
Oh, he's trying to get me talking to the... I'm so loud, I think it probably went through.
That's all right. But yeah, that's, you know, all these things, you know, and the thing is, we was camping, and a couple of us men sitting around talking, and we was talking about the end times and this and that, but it, regardless of what we were talking about, you know, everybody was talking about this and that. I said, if we're going to have a conversation about it, we need to have the Bible open, and we need to bring scripture, because if you don't have the Bible open, it's just a bunch of jingle jangle. You're just talking, you know, just rambling on this and that, because
it's everyone's opinion.
Yes. And, you know, you got to have the Word of God out there, and you got to stand on it. So if this is what you believe, show me where it says it in there and how you got to that point. Like, where did the Lord bring you to this revelation? You know, through what did the Lord show you this? You know, or was it that you just hear this, you got TikTok giving you that, you got Facebook, you got a good preacher, a good message, which is a good message for that, you know, time that you listen to a part of, on, you know, and that's what we know about the Bible. Well, that's not doing you any good. Yeah, it makes you feel good, but this is a one-on-one. My sheep hear my voice. Mm-hmm. You know, my sheep hear my voice. And, you know, my thing is, for me, the way he deals with me is, whenever I go looking for an answer, I never get it while I'm looking for it. Not once have I ever dug in there looking for an answer, and he just revealed. Yeah, he does. It doesn't. It, for me, it hasn't worked that way. It works for whenever I diligently seek him. Mm. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So when I'm diligently and I'm looking and I'm reading for this answer and I can't find it, well, whenever I move on, you know, I always tell people, just put it on a shelf, you know, and the Lord in his time will pull it off and bring it to your remembrance. So what I do is, I can't find it, this and that, I'll get my best understanding that I have, but I'm still not satisfied, but I'll get the best that my mind at that time can comprehend. And I go on to whatever the next thing is, and I study and I read. And what will happen, or what has happened, I mean, this is how all of mine has come to me, for the most part, was while somebody's preaching about some other topic that has nothing to do with what it was I was looking for, there'll be a verse in there. And out of that message, that will be the key, and he'll bring it all back like a flood, and it'll all come through, and that answer will come to me.
Wow, that's good.
And it does it, if it even happened in a song, like a song will have a certain word in there, you know, or you know, a scripture in that song, and that'll be the key. And I'm like, there it is. And then I go back, and then that's, you know, that's where it all comes from, you know, and that's for me. That's how it worked for me. So we have to have, you have to read, and I understand, I hear this all the time. Well, I just don't get nothing out of it. I don't understand. I'm like, and I get that. You know, I've been there. I understand that. And, you know, but read it, even when you don't understand, just read it and trust the Lord.
It'll eventually come around.
It will come to you. It will. I'm telling you, God is faithful and he's true. But he is not a right now. I mean, he is a right now. But what I'm saying is, we're in this microwave. I think Aaron always calls it a microwave generation. You know, we want it and we want it right now. Just put it in there fast, get it done. The Lord, He works like a garden. You know, and a garden does not produce fruit right now. You have to, there's preparation, there's planting, there's work to be done, there's seeds to be sown, there's seeds to be watered, there's seeds to be nursed, there's seeds to be fertilized. There's all this work, and there's time, and there's got to have sunlight, we've got to have water, we have all these things before the sprout will sprout. Then the sprout is sprouted.
And sometimes the answer is just, it's because God's waiting on something in you to change.
Exactly. So, and all these things, you know, we just got to trust the Lord in all these things. So when we see all this taking place out here, you know, if that's what you're looking at, you will be disturbed. You will be, you know, but you enter into my rest by ceasing from your works. That's what it says. When we stop trying to fix ourselves. We stop trying to do all these things. We stop trying to do all this, and we enter into His rest by ceasing from our works. So we trust in Him, even when we don't see what we're wanting to see or what we think should be right. Go to the Word, read the Word. Even if you don't know where to go, just go somewheres and read, and just seek the Lord. If you're diligently seeking the Lord, I don't care where you go in this book. If you're really truly seeking God, and he's going to reveal Himself to you. His word is true. He is faithful and just to come to you. He says, "I'm a friend that sticks closer than a brother." You know what happens is we focus so much on the noise that we can't hear Him. We focus so much on the things that's going around, like Peter when he stepped out of the boat. His eyes was on Jesus, and he was walking on the water.
Yeah.
You know, the very thing that he was afraid of was going to kill him in the boat. He walked on.
Praise God.
And he was walking towards the Lord. And then what happened when he took his eyes off the Lord? He began to sink. And that's what happens to us. When we take our eyes off the Lord and we put our eyes on the world and the things that's going around this world, it will sink. It will pull us under. It will suck us in. It will consume us. It will drown us out.
Well, a boat can't sink being on water. It only sinks when it takes on the water.
When it takes on water, yes. When it allows the water in, does it begin to sink? Well, yeah.
I think the word is
refuge.
No, referendum. Am I saying that right? That's probably not right. But it's a rebuke, if you will, to the church, because I don't know about you, but I said this to somebody yesterday. I believe in this, if pastors, if you're listening, this is for all of us, you know, God gave us a fivefold ministry for the edification and the body of the saints. And I love you, pastor, but your church needs more than you. Yeah. I mean, there's a fivefold ministry, and yes, you may function inside some of those, but you need other people speaking, teaching, doing other stuff. And that builds and edifies the body. But I feel like the church has had a lot of clickbait teaching.
Yes.
It's just little bitty clickbaits. They get up there on a short sermon and the worship, and it's these like clickbaits of stuff that gets people's attention. Where is the pastors that are making sure that there's strong teaching in his church?
Yeah.
Making sure that I know the people are responsible to go home and study. But, you know, my youngest sister said to me yesterday, she said, people even do Sunday school anymore? Like, how come people don't study the Bible? Like, I'm teaching her how to study.
Yeah.
And she's like, she told me she's doing this Bible study, and she called me on Saturday and asked me some questions. And I said, well, this is how you do it. She ended up in this one study on the tongue, and it was powerful. I went to it, and I was like, oh, I'm so convicted. I would say the kid put 5 hours in it.
Yeah.
And I said, but this is how you learn the word. And we have clickbait Christianity. We have programmed the algorithm of our mind on TikTok to only do 10 seconds. We cannot endure in Scripture. And if this is a pastor listening to me, find a way to teach your people the word of God, because you're going to come up short. You're like, oh, well, there we go with Israel again. I just heard coming over this morning that Trump himself has said to people around him, hey, listen, this you guys need to be concerned about where the ideals of the nation is going for Israel. He said, it's me and a very few more that are even standing. The nation is turning against Israel. If you had told me that even 4 years ago, I would have said, there's no way Israel has always been an ally, always been a friend. I'm beginning to change my mind. But it all goes back to not studying the scriptures, not getting in the word, like you told these guys around the fire. I don't want your opinions. Let's dig in the word. Because if you read the word will show you. And yes, we just read that all the nations of the world are going to come against Israel. But we don't have to. I want to be that Corrie Ten Boom. I want to be Arthur Schindler that hid Jews. No matter what it is, the topic at hand in the days of Noah, I want to be that Noah that is preaching righteousness and preparing a place for my family.
Yeah.
Just like she said a while ago, God killed out all the evil seeds, but we can raise up righteous seed. We're talking today, if you're listening, don't get discouraged. Greg just said it a while ago maybe your child is every bit of what Greg read in Hosea. Maybe your marriage is falling apart. Maybe you're about to lose everything. God had encouragement. Greg read it because God said, you're no longer even going to speak the name of other gods. Don't you want that? Maybe you're an alcoholic today and you don't know how to get free. God's saying, I see where you're at. I see your brokenness. I see that you have got a reputation in town of being a drunkard. Maybe you're that woman that's gave herself away time after time after time, and you've got a reputation of being a loose woman. God is saying, I will bring you to a place and bring living water in your life, and no longer will you even speak of these gods on your lips. Amen. How powerful.
Amen. Amen. And that's this book of Hosea. You know, that's this whole book here, you know, the name of it is salvation. You know, and that's what we're talking about. It says go and, it says go marry a harlot. All right, well, a woman of whoredom. But, you know, what this is this is something the Lord showed me in the book of Jonah. It's so easy to think about the characters and the people who's being affected and the things that's going on in the story. But what's God doing? God doing here? What is his plan? So here's the heart of God in this book of Hosea. You know, we look at it, it's like, he's got to go, well, this is a person from that field. They're fatherless. They have no father. You know what I'm saying? So they don't know who their father is. There's children out there that don't know who their father is. This is what God is trying to say. I will be your father. This is these kids. It says, not my people and not loved. These are the children that don't know God, that don't know the Father, that don't know who they are. You know, and God wants them. He wants to reveal himself to them. And he wants to be their father. And they'll no longer be, fatherless. You know, he wants to be our father. That's why you talk about that, the husband there. But, you know, this whole thing is he's talking to the Jewish people in the book of Hosea, but this pertains to us now. You know, even right now, I didn't know who I was, but I heard the Lord call me. Who are you, Lord? And now he's showing me. You know, and little by little, the closer I get to him, the farther I see that I am from him. You know, and the closer that I get to him, the more sin is revealed in me. And the more sin is revealed in me, the more my heart breaks that I'm not where, you know, I'm not. And this is what I talk about. Blessed are those that mourn. You know, that's, you know, those that mourn because he sees his glory and they are not. They see the lack of glory in them. You see what I'm saying? It's like, he is so good and I am so not. And it just, you know, I want to be what he'd have me to be. I want to be all these things. And this is a process that doesn't happen overnight. And it doesn't, like, in the beginning, whenever, if you told me the words I'm speaking right now, I had no clue when I first met the Lord. You see what I'm saying? It's a process
that
comes.
Yes.
And in my growing, man, I was these people that was not God's people. You know, I had walked away to the point where I was at the point where I just asked God, you know, to cut the sear from my conscience so that I can feel again. You see what I'm saying? Because you talking about that, that brought back my attention. You talked about that disease that
you couldn't feel. I mean, it's a literal, yeah.
Yeah, you couldn't feel. Well, I got to that point after I met the Lord.
Wow.
After I met the Lord. And I believe it was a season that he brought me through. And by sticking to scripture, when Jesus was baptized, the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted. And that's what happens to us, because we have to experience these things. We have to go through and see all the things that is in us, the gods that are in us that we don't realize, the things that we rely on, the things that we trust in, the things that rule our minds has to be brought to naught in the sight of Almighty God. You see, so I got to that point, and whenever I got to that point, I realized who he is, and I, you know, who he really is in me. And I was like, God, cut this sear from my conscience so that I can feel again. I want to live for you. I don't want to be doing these things. Here it is. You know, I remember I was so on fire for God, and I was just, and still these things of the world just kept coming at me, and kept, you know, these things inside of me. And everybody I go to church with is there, everything's all put together and everything's doing, you know, everybody's going right. And they got their hair straight and their ties are straight and all the things, and they look good. And I'm not that guy, you know what I'm saying? And little by little, I remember crying at the altar, say, Lord, don't let me go back. Just take me now. If I'm going to go back, if I can't walk for you, just take me now.
Wow.
You know, I remember crying that to him, and he didn't take me then.
Because he knew he could keep you.
Yep. And through all this time, you know, this struggle and all these things I didn't understand, you know, I my heart never turned away from him, but man, I could not get it right. And I know I'm not the only one. I know there's somebody out there that hears it right now, that they just can't get it right. My prayer was, for the longest time, God, don't give up on me. You know,
see, that's what I was
just
saying,
don't
being
give
honest,
up on
yes,
me.
We do want to have faith, and we want to, you know, be bold in our faith and proclaim what the scripture says. But also think there's a I think that's faith too, like coming to God and crying out and wrestling out your faith of. That's what Jacob did, right? Jacob, well, when he wrestled with the angel of the Lord, he was wrestling out, fleshing out Jacob, the deceiver, and God changed his name.
And that's what I was getting
at. See that encounter,
So it was a process. You know, you look at me now and you hear now, and I appreciate the comments that I get sometime, and you know, and the encouragements, you know, I do. But this wasn't an overnight thing for me. You know, I didn't always know what this word said. And I was consumed by this world again. And, you know, but the Lord pulled me through, and he allowed me to experience these things. Because I remember when I first read the Bible, I've told you all this before, all I could read was the red words. I didn't want to hear nothing that anybody else had to say. Jesus has saved my soul. And I found out that everything that he said was in red, and whatever was in black was somebody else. I didn't want to hear what anybody else had to say, you know.
Wow.
So every red word in this book, I read it all. I didn't understand any of it. I mean,
but
something.
You just kept going. You kept coming. You kept coming.
And, well, at that point, that's all I had was the red words. I didn't know what anything else said, any words else other than what Jesus said. And I didn't even know what it meant. But I read everything that Jesus told me, you know. And little by little, trial by trial, all this stuff started coming together, and those red words started coming alive in me. And whenever I'd read this other, or somebody would be preaching about this other, another one of them words would come to me. You know what I'm saying? And little by little, he built himself in me. And where, you know, and that's where I'm at now. It's just, you know, you may not have it all. You may not know what the word says. You may not. And that's, it's okay as long as you still turn towards the Lord. Just, you know, but just go and read what you can read, and just trust in the Lord, because I didn't get here overnight. Where I am now come through a long, hard process that hurt. You know, it hurt bad in times. You know, I almost, I almost lost my marriage. you know, and all these things. I was real close to just walking away from everything.
God's so faithful.
And you know, and so many times, you know, I look back now and there was a line, and I would get to that point, but I never could cross it. You know, everything in me would want to cross that line, but I just couldn't do it. And I look back now, and that was the Lord keeping me. Mm. You know, that was the Lord keeping me. The Spirit in me was keeping me. I got to go to that point, but I couldn't go any farther. Just like he told the waters, you can go this far, but that's it. You can't go any farther. Yeah. That's what, you know, and I feel, you know, I look back, and I don't know if that's what it was, but that's what it appears to me. There was just a point that I couldn't go any farther.
He's a restrainer. You know, he restrains us.
I'm saying all that to say this. We're talking about knowing the Word and all these things, and that is so fearful to a young believer who don't know the Word. And I don't want to ever come out that way. I don't want you to be afraid because you don't know the Word. I just want you to understand the importance of knowing what it says, you know, and that's something that's very important for you to get in there and to begin somewheres. Everybody begins somewheres. Nobody starts with it all. They got to start with the first verse, you know, so start and read. Mm. Whether you understand or you don't understand, it's okay. Just read, trust the Lord, and just take it in and listen for the Lord. Mm. Pray. And listen for, Lord, show me, Lord, teach me, Lord, use me, Lord, you know, every day in all that you do, you know, in all that you do, acknowledge the Lord and ask him, Lord, help me do this. Lord, I've got to go do this today. Lord, be with me today as I go do this. Mm-hmm. And while you're doing that, Lord, thank you for letting this thing go right. You know, thank you for getting me through this thing or this thing I had to fix. Lord, thank you for giving me the ability to figure this out. Or I don't know how many times I've lost something. I'm looking, I'm digging through all the stuff, and I'm like, I got to find this, you know. And I thank you, Lord. You revealed it to me. I found it here. You know, like I'm just talking about like a tool or something. Like anybody works on a vehicle knows a 10 millimeter is gone. As soon as you open the package, I don't know what happens. Somebody steals the 10 millimeter. It's gone. It's gone. Never. So whatever.
I love that about the red letters. There's a Christian artist that sings a song about the red letters. My husband would know it because I've heard him.
That might be Crowder.
Yeah, Crowder, Red Letters. And that's so good. Just starting somewhere. I mean, a children's Bible.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, we're just saying again, it's just so important because, you know, you started the broadcast off with a proverb about, you know, the way. But if you go to Psalms, and Aaron's been talking about this, the aura, Psalms 119, you know, that the word is a lamp unto our, that's not where the actual scripture, but it talks about the way. You know, how can a young man keep his way pure by keeping according to your law? That God's word and his path are all the same. And so if you want to stay on the right path, you have to stay in the word. So we're just saying the importance of this. You know, Nineveh, we talk about Jonah and Nineveh, and it's so funny because we're talking about Israel. Israel was taken, their disobedience brought tribulation. And in 722 B.C., I think, don't hold it to me, I'm like Greg on the address. I'll get close.
Mm-hmm.
But 722 B.C., those 10 tribes, they came in and they took them over. If you read, go into the depth of that, that was awful what happened to them.
Yeah.
And they were taken captive. And so, like, nobody's coming in taking us captive. Hope not. But we get taken TikTok. Captive on a spiritual level. You know what I'm saying? Like drugs, alcohol, deception, all these other things. Now, nation-wise, we could. There could be an invasion. But God, even those that are held in the hands of a wicked nation, the Ninevites, whatever you want to call them, that's the capital of the Assyrian army, and God goes to them and brings salvation.
Mm.
Even to your enemies, you know what I'm saying? Like Jesus said, forgive your enemies, pray for those that persecute you. God is about salvation. God is about saving all. He reigns on the just and the unjust. We do have to know danger. We stand for what's righteousness. We are restrainers as well in the earth. by pushing back. We occupy till he returns. But we pray for other faiths. We pray for people that are persecuting us. That's what makes a persecuted church so powerful, is because of prayer and praying for their enemies. And so, you know, God ministering through Hosea, having him to remarry a woman that had went astray, God is showing, no matter how far you go, I'm going to come get you. No matter where you give your affection to, I'm going to come back. I'm going to come get you. I'm married to the backslider. Don't you love that scripture?
Yeah.
I'm married to the backslider. God would use the Assyrian army to come and discipline his own children, but he's going to go save their capital. He's going to go to their capital people and send a prophet, his prophet, that maybe should be speaking to his own people, and he's going to have him to preach to their enemy. And they're going to return. I mean, Greg said it one time. Jonah was probably more mad because the enemy might actually repent.
Yeah. He was mad because the God would forgive him.
Yes. Yeah. So this is the love of God. This is worth saying. You know, there's no pit so deep that God is not deeper still. And David said, if I make my bed in the belly of hell, will thou not be there with me?
There'll be.
This is what God is. And, you know, you said something and it exploded in my mind. That's how my mind works. It's weird, okay? But you said you read only red letters. And I am passionate because I see this Marcion faith coming back to where the God of the Old Testament is mean and cruel. And Jesus, it's like, well, this is, I mean, it's coming. I could name podcasters that are leading a generation of young men to think, well, that's that Judeo-Christian faith. We're now the Christian church. But if you go to read the words of Jesus, Jesus explicitly said, I and the Father are one. Mm-hmm. If you see me, you see the Father. So he is bearing witness that Father that sent him, that Father in the Old Testament, all his judgments, all his rulings, all his wars, all his discipline are in the belly of Messiah. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
You can't separate that. So this is why it's so important to know the word.
If you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
You've seen the Father.
And
the Father was good even in all his judgments.
Always, from the beginning to the end.
It reminds me of, you know, the false Christ that will be preached and raise up. And that's the scary part of this, is if it's not the Christ of the Bible, if it's not truly Christ, which is the I am, he said, I am.
Yeah.
Then what is it? Yeah. You know, it is a deception. Like, it's doctrines of demons. It's doctrines of devils. If it's not the I am, then it's the doctrines of devils. Mm. And that's the scary thing, is people are being, that is the great falling away. That is a great deception.
Yeah.
And I pray, Lord, that wake them up. Wake your people up to see that it's not the truth.
Wake me up. When you know, I have a very good friend that she teaches expository teaching. It's so powerful on Israel. Like she can start in Genesis and build, you know, Lee Strobel did the case for Christ. She can do the case for Israel. I mean, like, it's so powerful. I sat like in a 2-hour meeting with her, and it was all scripture. It was solo scripture. That's what you got. You got to get them in the word. But, you know, the thing about it is that revelation that God was given her, she just become passionate. She told me, see, like, what was it last year when she's sitting there and I'm going, really? You think it's going to get that bad? Like she said, I see a divide in the MAGA movement. And she's not like politically driven. Like she's passionate for the widow, the orphan, and the poor.
Amen.
But she said this. She said, I see a split coming in the MAGA movement, and they're going to become anti-Israel. They're going to become so pro-America that they're going, and they don't understand prophecy. And when she's telling me this, I'm sitting there, I told her the other day, so I kind of sat there in my mind and thought, are you really thinking it'd be that bad? Oh my gosh, it's even worse.
Wow.
It's worse. And you think, why is this important? It's, you know, they're making all these cases like we America first. And I do believe that you should take care of your own first. I do believe that. I am pro-America. I believe we should take care of our own first. But I also believe that we are grafted into the root of Israel. we are, does that mean that the government makes all right decisions? No, but I'm saying the land, the people, the promises, all of the, you know, I told somebody the other day, I sat down for 45 minutes with two young women showing them why this subject is so important. And I said, but if you go to Revelation chapter 21, I think verse 2, that might be the right address. But the New Jerusalem that comes down has 12 gates around the city. And they're all named after the 12 tribes of Israel. And I'm thinking, what Bible are you reading out of?
Yep.
I mean, you're going into a New Jerusalem. A New Jerusalem. And I'm not talking about geopolitics. Like, I believe that we're good allies. I think that they're good. I mean, they're good for the Middle East. I'm talking biblically, the heart of God for the sons of Jacob. God went to the woman at the well through Messiah. She was a Samaritan Jew that was at a well of her ancestor. God says in his word that he will restore the fallen booth of David. There will be many that will not turn to the faith, and they will not go to heaven, just like many of from all tribes and tongues. But there is a remnant that shall be saved.
Amen.
There is a remnant. So if discipline is to come to them, God said, the nations that I use to come against them, I'm going to turn and come against that nation. Huh, I don't want to be that person.
Yeah.
And then it talked about they'll become a cup of trembling. Like, that's why it's so much conversation is, Greg, we're getting at that place in eschatology that, you know, anyway, I'm not going to get into all that, but I'm just telling you, this is very significant that we see that God has not finished his word.
When we get, have you got like Kingdom Corner or anything? Or
I have one, but I'm good to keep flowing however we want to. I think this has been very an on-time word.
You know, it says, you know, in Matthew 24 says, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. All right. So,
is that Matthew 24?
Yeah, that's Matthew 24. But I want to go and I want to go to where it talks about the housetops. Let's see. Yeah, okay. So in the, and it's describing the Great Tribulation in Matthew 24 and verse 15. All right. And when you therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. All right. So many people I hear that's talking about when this happens, there's going to be such destruction and this and that, that there's people's going to be running for their lives. You know, and I can see that face value on this reading the words on this page. But if you read in Micah chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, I know I've read this before, but I'm going to do it again. I want to remember, I want everybody to remember this. Micah chapter 2. Woe to them that, wait a minute, did I say that right? No, Micah chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established, and in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it.
Mm.
When Jesus here, he's speaking, says, whoso readeth, let him understand. So, in verse 16, let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains. That's turning to God. Flee to the mountains of the Lord. And when you go on to read there, and many nations shall come and go, let us go up to the mountains of the Lord and to the house of God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways.
Wow.
And we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the world, or I'm sorry, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So this is this great tribulation. Remember what I said?
Yep.
Tribulation is bringing repentance. Let them of Judea flee to the mountains. Remember, he just said, it just said in parentheses, whoso readeth, let him understand. the fleeing to the mountains is turning to the Lord. And you can also, I've got it in Psalms 125. If anybody wants to read Psalms 125 or jot that down, that is the mountain of the Lord. That is turning to Him and His ways, these things, because, all right, now let's, let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. So let him that's on the housetop, okay, so we're talking about in this tribulation, and we're seeing these things. Let him not, all right, so we'll use this as the thorns, the seed that was sown in the thorns. What happened when they grew up to get, when the seed was sprouted in the thorns? It was choked out.
Wow.
And what did Jesus say that that meant? That's the cares of this world, the things of this world choked out the seed. Whenever he's talking about the seed, the parable of the seed. All right. Verse 18, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. He who takes hold of the plow and turns back is not fit for the kingdom of God. So that's our own righteousness. Neither him that is working in the field return back to take his clothes. What are we clothed in? Our righteousness, or are we clothed in his righteousness? If we go back to like my ways was I carried a gun everywhere I went. I had all these tactics in my head and all these things. And man, so many times I want to revert back to that. You know what I'm saying? With all I see going on, man, I'm wanting to gear up and get ready.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot do that.
Yeah.
God is the strong man of my house. He's going to be the one to protect me.
And he wants the glory for it.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. And woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. Mm. So everybody's talking about it's going to be bad that they can't run with children. That's what everybody, I hear people talking about this, but I want to let the Spirit reveal this. If you want to receive, here it is. Woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. Tribulation, talking about before the return of Christ. If God told us to be fruitful and multiply, he wants us to have children. He wants us to have all these things. Why would he say woe to them or doing what I told you to do? You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
What this is saying is woe to them or with child or to them that give suck in these days. If God is coming back, he's coming back. When Jesus comes back, he's looking for a bride, a chaste virgin.
Mm-hmm.
And if he comes back and he finds you with child or nursing a child, you've been unfaithful. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You're unfaithful. This is saying, woe unto them that are with child and give suck in those days. He's talking about his return. He's returning for a bride. What did Paul say he's trying to present his church as? A chaste virgin. You know what I'm saying? As a bride who saves herself for the bridegroom, mm-hmm, when he comes. And when the bridegroom comes and he finds his bride with child, she's unfaithful. He's saying, be faithful in the Lord. Be faithful to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go back to the other ways. And pray your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. If you're running, if you're talking about the harvest, if you wait till winter, there's nothing left to harvest. You've missed it.
Yeah.
You're like the five foolish virgins. Mm-hmm. Who went back to get the, you know, they waited too late to be ready.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then pray that your flight is not on the Sabbath day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what does that mean? Well, if you're running, what does it say?
Can't rest.
Cease from your, when you enter my rest, when you cease from your works.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're working on the Sabbath day to save yourself and do all the things, you've missing the whole thing.
And it's going to be physical, too, because, yeah, like, I mean, I know what you're saying there, and it's going to be physical, too, because Matthew 24 was, it had two parts. It, mm-hmm, was what was about to happen in 70 A.D.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like 1 million got slaughtered at Passover in Matthew in 70 A.D. when the Roman Empire, because Daniel, saw through the statue of Nebuchadnezzar these empires that were coming. Yes. And so when the Roman Empire would come in and subdue them, I was so anxious one day last week. Like, I was so anxious with everything going on. This is a good word, Robert. I mean, I keep on calling him Robert today. Roger.
Roger.
Roger, I was so anxious because I've been so burdened over this Zoran Madami taking, you know, New York. And I'm just very concerned he'd get it. And he did. And just, you know, the rise of Islam. I mean, are you seeing this? Like, this is another whole story. But I'm just going to get to this point. I'm driving down to Glasgow on Highway 90, and I'm so just anxious. I can feel my spirit getting so anxious about what's happening, you know. But all of a sudden, God let me see that picture in Daniel, because all these empires that would rise up, and they look big, and they look like they subdue, and they do to some yep. degree. And I get the visual picture of the rock that's going to come out, and that rock is Messiah, and he will smash all these empires, and his kingdom and his kingdom alone shall be left. And so that's such a reminder that things will be hard. They were hard in 70 AD.
Yeah.
I mean, they had to, this is where they went into the diaspora because of what happened in 70 AD. Rome took over Jerusalem. They, again, because they wasn't honoring God, they wasn't receiving God, they lost the land. But God says he will eventually bring them back in the end. He will bring them back from all nations. This is from all nations. They'd never been in like all nations. So he's bringing them all back, and he's going to wash them and save them. And they will turn to him whom they have pierced, and they will look upon him and mourn for him as a, you know, one mourning for their own child. Yep. And they're going to, a remnant is going to repent. So in the middle of everything being so hard, in the middle of everything being so difficult, this time of Jacob's trouble, this time of tribulation will be like no other time. The tribulation's going to be bad. But what's going to be worse than that is the wrath of God.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this must come to pass so that the kingdom of God shall be established. And so choose the side you're going to be on. Choose Messiah. Choose God. And all of your brokenness and all of everything that you've got, bow your knee at God and say, God, I choose you. Like Greg said, he'll work it out. I tell people all the time, you're struggling with addiction, keep coming to church.
Yeah.
I don't care if you've made it. I don't mean like you're just got an attitude, I'm going to do whatever I want to. I don't care. Keep running. Keep running. Keep running. You're a mess. You keep falling into sin. Keep coming. Because one day you'll look up and you'll go, wow, I'm not where I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. A righteous man will fall seven times, but he gets back up.
Mm-hmm.
He gets back up. That's the thing. You know, the Lord, he's faithful and just, you know, if we turn to him, he's faithful to forgive us, you know. And he sees your heart. He knows, you know, your motives. He sees all of your struggles. He sees whether you are struggling or whether you're not struggling. You know, that's another thing, too. Some people, they just don't struggle with it. They do the things because they like the things. They don't try to not do them.
Hmm.
They just continue in them. And that's a dangerous place. But those that hate doing what they're doing, but they still find themselves doing it, you know, those ones are the ones I'm talking about. Hang in there. Keep trusting. And, you know, like I said, I got to the point where the only prayer I could say to the Lord was, don't give up on me.
Oh, I love
that's
that.
That's all
don't
I could say.
Don't
give up on me. You know, and I look back now, and there's a song that says, if you never done another thing for me, you've done enough.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a great song and everything, but if he never done another thing for me, I go right back to the way I was, because I realize he is the him in me, working in me day in and day out, all day, every day, is what's keeping me here.
So what you're saying, the opposite of that song, don't not keep doing for me.
Yeah, keep doing.
Because he's the reason that you stand.
Yes.
Because he keeps doing.
My only way I stand is him in me. You know, that's it. If I mean, immediately, I would just be as if I, you know, just as if it never happened if he was to walk away. I just know, you know, I just don't ever give up on me, Lord. Don't remove your hand from me. You know, keep working on me. And
like somebody in the Psalms, David.
Well, Ephesians, he that began a good work in you will perform until the day of Christ Jesus. You know, remember that. Remember that. Don't ever forget that. Yeah, in your worst times, you know, and your bottom, and you're so far down, if you ever get to that point, if you're there now, just remember, he that began a good work in you will perform it. You know, it don't look like it right now. It don't look like he's working on anything. You feel you're down. You're doing these things you don't want to be doing. You're just, you know, there's like you have no hope. Don't give up on me, Lord. He won't. He's faithful. We got to. Some people have to see these things. I was one of them. I had to go down there. I had to see how dark and deep it was.
Wow.
In order to realize how good and bright he is. And that's what it took for me. So if you're in that place, hold on to the Lord. Whatever part of the Lord you have, hold tight. If it's just a little bit of scripture, hold on to that scripture and read it over and over and over again every day. If that's all you got, hold on to it. Because he is faithful.
I like how the scripture uses that hold fast. Hold fast. Like, don't wait. Hold fast. Grab it and hold on to it. Yeah. Don't wait to grab onto it. I love that.
Even if it's just a little bit, that's good. That's so good.
Whatever you have. Yeah. That's very encouraging this morning.
The faith of a mustard seed. That's the smallest seed of all. I mean, that's, you know, and that's all. If we got any piece of God, you got more than the whole world in your hand. If you got the smallest part of God in you at all, you got more than the entire world.
Write that down. That's good.
And just hold on to it, because that smallest part of God is going to pull you through everything that you can think of or that you can't think of.
You got the smallest part of God. You got more than the world.
Yeah. And the best thing is, you know, we can't separate God. So even if we have the smallest part of God, we still have the rest of him.
Exactly.
We just don't have the revelation of it.
Exactly.
But if we're in him, then we get everything. That's the amazing part of it. We get everything that comes along with it.
I think me and you was talking about this. You know, darkness has no power over the light. Got 1 minute left. Mm-hmm. Okay. When you turn the light on, darkness has nothing to do but disappear. You know, the only way to cover light, to get rid of light, is you have to conceal it. It has to be covered up. Mm-hmm. And that's what the enemy does. He tries to conceal the light so that he can operate in the darkness. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Someone encouraged us yesterday, don't let anyone or anything or yourself put anything to cover your light.
Watch your circle.
Yeah.
Watch your circle. Circle of people that you're in.
Well, we are out of time. Thank you guys for your interaction this morning. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time on Mornings with Boxster Radio. Thank you, Greg and Miss Renee.